Please be seated. This morning I want to preach the message from the epistle for this week, which comes to us from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, beginning at verse 18. The writer of Hebrews, although no one knows who that is but God, had some interesting things to say about our current world condition. The current condition that we're in as a community, where even our 15-year-olds see it necessary to take their own life. The writer of Hebrews says, "You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness, a gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.'" See, in the days of Moses, everyone knew that approaching Mount Zion, the mountain of God, was serious business. The book of Exodus gives us several accounts of the people of Israel and their encounters with the mountain they called Sinai. Exodus says, "You shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Be careful not to go up to the mountain or to touch the edge of it. Any who touch the mountain shall be put to death.' On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. And now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses would speak, and God would answer him in thunder. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance." See, the writer of Hebrews is reminding us that approaching the mountain of God demands our full attention. It requires preparation, purifying yourself, washing your clothes and your body, making yourself presentable on the outside, but even more importantly, cleansing the inside, cleansing the heart, approaching the mountain of God with humility and pure intentions, approaching with reverence and a healthy respect for the God of the universe, who is indeed present on the mountain. I wonder, as we approach the throne of God every Sunday, do we approach the throne of God with the same respect? Do we approach the throne of God with that sense of awe as did our ancestors? Or have we become complacent and all too casually familiar with who God is, because we've compartmentalized God into a God of convenience, a self-serve drive-through God, there to be our ATM machine, our genie in a bottle, our break the glass only in case of emergency kind of God? Is that what we've turned God into? If we, as a culture, have turned God Almighty into God just slightly, it's no wonder that God is shaking things a bit in the world today. And if we look around, if we see the signs of the times happening around us, right here in our own community, in our own state, in our own country, all of creation is being sifted and shaken just as God did in the days of Moses. And so Moses warned the people that approaching the mountain of God can be hazardous to your health if you approach it unprepared. And the writer of Hebrews reminds us that those days of shaking creation are still upon us, with one wonderful or terrible, depending on where you stand with God, one wonderful or terrible addition. God is doing the shaking. And the addition, the thing that the Hebrews didn't have, was a Savior named Jesus Christ. See, these scriptures about shaking remind me of my daughter Brittany. Brittany has a testimony. A testimony that I repeat whenever I get a chance, and this scripture in Hebrews about shaking is a perfect opportunity to tell her testimony. See, my daughter and her husband Dane served as missionaries to Nepal just a few years ago. And they were there with my grandson Ransom, who was just a baby at the time, during that incredible earthquake that they had in Nepal. It killed 8,000 people and put more than 21,000 people into the hospital. Can you imagine 29,000 souls deeply affected by the shaking of the earth? Brittany and her little family lived in Nepal for 2.5 years before the earthquake. And they took the gospel of Jesus Christ to these remote, unreached villages of the Himalayas, climbing sometimes to 17,000 feet to reach these little villages with my grandson Ransom strapped to their backs. But their home base, when they weren't out delivering the gospel message, was this building made of concrete block apartments right in the heart of the city in Nepal. And the morning of the day of the earthquake, it was Ransom's birthday, and so they ventured out of their apartment into the marketplace to find ingredients to bake him a birthday cake and maybe to find some little trinket that would serve as a birthday present. They arrived back at their apartment a little bit later that morning, and shortly after they got into their apartment at about 11:56 Nepal Standard Time, the earthquake hit with a magnitude of 8.1. It's a pretty strong quake if you're not familiar with the Richter scale. And Brittany's testimony is that the world around them was shaken. The buildings were shaken. The people were shaken. It seemed to her that all of creation was shaken. She says that the marketplace where they had just been didn't exist anymore. It was leveled to the ground. The buildings around their apartment building were leveled. But by the hand of God, they and their apartment remained unscathed. All around them was fear and chaos, but their home and their faith remained unshaken. The writer of Hebrews says that those days of shaking creation are still with us. With one wonderful and terrible addition, depending on where you stand with God who is doing the shaking. The writer continues in verse 22, if you're following along, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. See, that wonderful and terrible addition is, as I said, our mediator, Jesus, whose wondrous blood covers those who believe, covers them in his righteousness, protecting them from the terrible wrath and judgment of the world shaker God. Hebrews tells us that the shaking isn't over. The world, all of creation, will be shaken again, and not just the earth, but heaven also, so that everything that can be shaken will be removed, and all that will remain will be those things that cannot be shaken, those things that are covered by the blood of the new covenant, those people who are covered by the blood of the new covenant by faith in the one who poured out his own blood for us, that we might be saved who believe upon him. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 27, the phrase "yet once more" indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed our God is a consuming fire. Do we approach our worship of the all-consuming God with reverence and awe? And if you've not quite figured it out yet, the good thing in this shaking is that those of us who have chosen Jesus as mediator, as Savior, those of us who believe, we won't be shaken. When our finances dip too low and we don't know where our next meal is coming from, we won't be shaken. When our relationship or our marriage goes south, we won't be shaken. When life just gets so hard that we can't see taking another breath in this life, we won't be shaken. When it seems as if the world is pressing down on us, when it seems like our world is nothing but chaos and shaking, we won't be shaken. Think of the worst experience that you can imagine. Think of it as a follower and believer in Jesus. And if you can, think back to that time where you didn't know him. And know that because you believe on him now, you won't be shaken. We who believe, we won't be shaken. And because we've been given this wonderful free gift of a kingdom that won't be shaken, we should approach the altar of God with thanksgiving, with reverence, with awe, with humility, with joy, with heartfelt worship. Because our God is all-consuming. He is all in all. Everything we could ever need and more wonderful than we could ever hope for or imagine. Abiding in Christ. Even though the world crumble into rubble around us, we won't be shaken. And so I say to you this morning, allow your hearts to be consumed by this purifying fire of God that the writer of Hebrews speaks of. Lean into the life-giving blood of Jesus the Son. And understand that the power of the Holy Spirit dwells with you, so you don't have to walk through the shaking alone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.